Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. Y'all know I had to give you a shout-out. As I say every week, man, our radio program, it reaches very far, and we appreciate all of our listeners, especially those that chimed in on the recent radio ratings. Thank you for keeping our stations here, David Broadcast, in mind, K92.7, Praise 100, Foxy 105, WOKS 1300, also on 94.1 FM. And I just want to also give a shout out to all the leadership here at Davis Broadcasting, Mr. and Mrs. Davis, Janice Granville. We have wonderful leaders here, Michael Soul, Double O Key, Angela, Karen, Patrice, Heidi, all the people that make the wheels turn here. Thank you so much for what you do. We keep our voices on the air. We keep your voice on the air because we are truly your voice, and it's an honor to be that voice for so many, not just here in Columbus, but all my friends over in Taylor and Talbot County, down in Marion and Sly County, over near Casita, down in Chattahoochee County, up in Harris County, over in Lee County, Russell County, Alabama, Crawford, Alabama, Seal, Alabama, Beauregard, Alabama, all the people listening. Thank you so much for all that you do and listening to our show. And again, if there's something that you want to hear on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, you know I'm going to keep it real, and I'm going to tell it like it is and allow my guests to speak their mind. That's what we're here for. You're here to hear from everyday people and to hear where they stand on things. And so we have a lot in our community to talk about. Our community is not perfect by far. We probably never will be perfect, but there's nothing wrong with us striving for perfection. Long as you're striving for perfection, you know that you're on the right stride. And we have some things that we certainly need to work on. And I had the honor this past week of working with our chief judge of state court here in Muskogee County, Ben Richardson, and as well as our chief assistant district attorney, Alonzo Whitaker, and DeAndre, over at the sheriff department's office, and some other individuals that help pull off Law Day for Boys, which is a program every year that's done by attorney Katunga Wright in her office. And we had almost 30 young boys in there, and we did a mock trial with them and talked to them about interacting with law enforcement, talked to them about the reality of what's going on in society. ADA Al Whitaker was able to talk about the fact that he was just coming out of a murder trial where two guys, age 14 and age 16, were convicted of murder, which means at a minimum, they're going to spend 30 years in jail before they're even eligible for parole. And so we had that real conversation with them, and we got to make sure that our youth understand consequences. There are consequences for every actions, but what avoid those consequences are choices. And when you make the right choices, then we can make sure that you are protected and that we protect our young people. And that's what we got to talk with them about. We got to talk with them about choices. And I'm excited to have in the studio with me here today on this Sunday to talk with me about community interaction, to talk about the community at large, a good friend of mine. I met this guy when I first moved to Columbus. He introduced himself as Ghetto Politician. Many of you already know who he is now. no other than Sean Riley. You know, Sean and I, we have a special connection. His sister LaFonda, I love her just the same. They're just so amazing people. And I had the blessing of being the professor of their mother at Millamont Technical College. And now I see where Sean and LaFonda got their love for community from, because she was always lighting up our classroom with positive conversation, with advice for the younger females and younger males in the classroom, too. And when Ms. Riley talked, Teddy Reese listened. And I went from being the professor in the class to the student when she spoke. And she's now with God. And Sean, it's been almost a year now, right?
No, it's been not a year. She's passed not in quite January.
In January. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're still within a year period. And Sean, I thank y'all for allowing me to be a part of her memory and her service.
Oh, yeah. She thought very highly of you. She used to speak about you all the time.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm still going to hold on to the fact that she had more of an impression upon me than I had upon her, even though I was the professor. I learned so much from Ms. Riley. That's what I call in the classroom, Ms. Riley.
Yeah, that's honor. That's honor.
Ms. Riley. You know, she told me I could call her by first name. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah. You know, no, you Ms. Riley.
Yeah.
And it was in the class that she told me she was your mother.
Yeah, and she loved to tell people she's my mom.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she loved to let people know who her kids are. She loved us to death. You know, we went through a lot together, but, you know, watching her go through a lot of things that she went through and come up out of it, it did a lot for me, did a lot for my sisters and my brothers and others as well, like you said yourself, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, I'm certainly, you know, didn't have you here today to relive that moment. But I just want to touch, if you don't mind, for a second, I want to touch on what you talked about at your mother's funeral. And you talked about how she strived to raise you guys, to make sure that you knew right from wrong, and how individuals are still going to do things themselves that may be counteractive to what the parents taught them, but it's not necessarily a reflection of the parent.
That's right.
And I think you mentioned that at one point she was a single mother.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really related to that because I was primarily raised by a single mother. And, you know, and every time, oftentimes, I should say, oftentimes when people talk about the challenges in a community, you know, one of the first things folks bring up, well, you know, we have a lot of single mothers, a lot of broken homes. Even a single mother can raise some amazing children.
That children also got to make the decision that they want to do better.
Right.
You know, and understand that, you know, when they do things and make decisions to do things, they're not only the ones affected by it. The mother is mostly affected by it because that's her child. And the father's affected also. You know, your aunties, your grandmothers, and everybody that's in your family, you know, is affected by choices that you make. So
absolutely. Well, Sean, part of the reason why I wanted to have a conversation with you, man, because you are always everywhere doing everything. I was recently with you at the Cherry Hill reunion. Shout out to Alicia Lightfoot for and her team for putting on an amazing weekend of events. We were all at the Black Tie together, me and my wife and you. And you had a student with you.
Oh, yes.
That was the Positive Athlete of the Year.
Out of West Georgia.
Talk about that student that you brought with you.
Well, his name is Kevin Usher. Me and his mother was elementary school classmates all the way through high school. And, you know, she saw what I was doing in the community, trying to be an impact to the community and give back the lessons that I learned through my experiences. So we continue to communicate or whatever. And I offered her to bring him to an event that I was having with the young man, and when he came and I spoke with him, he mentioned that he wanted to be a leader one day. He wanted to be a motivational speaker. And I believe it's very important that when you find the youth that has an idea, at least has an idea of what they want to do, you should begin to cultivate that. And, you know, he has a great mother, you know what I'm saying, also. But to know that, you know, you made an impact in a young man's life to where he's starting to make moves already so sudden that impacts other people. You know what I'm saying? It lets you know that you're doing the right thing. And but Kevin Usher, he's a 2019 graduate of Hardaway High School. He won a 2019 Positive Athlete of the Year for West Georgia this year, football, the category of football. He's an amazing kid, and every time we have our own events, he's the captain of the young men of the group. So, you know, sometimes I step back and I allow him to practice.
Okay.
Get ready for his future.
Wow. And that's what we call mentorship.
Yeah.
That's what we call taking time out to interact with our youth and to engage with them. And I'm sure it means a lot to his mother that you're spending that time with him.
Yeah. Yes, it does. She constantly reminds me. I appreciate every opportunity you give Kevin to attend the event, to speak. You know, sometimes I reach out to other platforms to, you know, get them to pull him in, because it needs to be, we got a lot of light being shed on all the things the young are doing wrong. But I believe in shedding light on the things that young men are doing right.
How do we do more of that?
We do more of that by offering the platforms, get them young men opportunity to speak and say what's on their mind and tell why they're taking the steps that they're taking, you know, and because it takes a lot of courage for them to do that, especially with all the peer pressure. So I think giving them the opportunity to utilize platforms, being heard more, being seen more, would build a confidence.
Right.
You know, would build a confidence. And I think that's a start. I think, you know, it may not happen overnight, but within a time frame, maybe a 5-year period, you will begin to see a lot of a difference in a lot of attitudes and a lot of behavior when it comes to these young people.
And, you know, Sean, the reason I appreciate feedback from folks like yourself is because you're the first to let people know you've had your troubled path. You've been out there in the streets.
Yeah.
You know what the streets have to offer, and now you are turning that around and making a difference in the lives of other folks and other young people and parents and grandparents. What motivated you to make that turnaround and to be a positive force?
Well, it all started back in 1997, hanging in the hood, you know, doing the typical things you do in the neighborhood. And one day it just hit me. It wasn't nothing nobody said to me, my grandmother or my mother at the time. It just hit me that I was wasting time. And I had already had messed up a lot of opportunity that I had in my life, so that was difficult to deal with, mm-hmm. you know, having unanswered questions and things like that. And I know how it made me feel. Mm-hmm. It, you know, it creates frustration. It creates confusion. It creates anger, aggravation. You know, and you find yourself all out of character. But when you take the time to sit back and look at yourself, and, you know, you'll let the answers come to you, okay, why was I acting like that? You know, well, I was acting like that because I didn't know how to do anything different. You know what I mean? But it just hit me that I was wasting time, didn't have a purpose in my life at the time, just wasting time. So I began to just speak it out verbally. I start to speak it out verbally, literally, mm-hmm. about Omni. And people thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. Over 20-some years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. people come to me today and they like, how did you manage to keep going? And I have to tell them that, you know, despite of what I went through, I had to go through, I didn't lose my focus. Mm-hmm. I knew certain opportunities give you opportunity to become stronger. And I wanted that. You got to want it. I wanted to change. And
now you're also a musician. Mm-hmm. And I've purchased some of your music before, yeah. and I've listened to it, and I've listened to the lyrics, and I was like, dang, this brother is deep. You know, to me, lyrics is poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're expressing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, what is it like for you to express yourself through song?
It's lovely, man. And let me be honest with you. When I first started, you know, a lot of people had a lot to say. I was saying I was too old, but you're never too old to give a message. You know, you're never too old to receive a message. It's never too late, you know. And like I said, I've been where I had a lot of regrets in my life, and I knew that I probably could do it, you know what I mean? So I stepped out in faith. But my purpose for doing it was to reach people that I don't normally get to see every day, mm-hmm. to give a message, because somebody far away may need to hear what you got to say to get them through the day. And I've learned that has happened, you know. So it motivates you to keep going. You know, and it feels great. You know what I'm saying? To me, it's like confirmation that I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing when it comes to, you know, making the music, you know.
Right, right. That's awesome. Now, you know, you and I follow each other on social media, mm-hmm. and I'm always checking out your videos and stuff. And most recently, you've been posting a lot of videos about this garden that you've been working
on. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why do you want to talk to us about a garden, man? What is it about this garden?
Well, you know, like I said, it started like a year ago. I went down past my uncle's house one day. He was out there, and I saw he had the pretty purple cabbage out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, caught my attention. I was like, okay. So when this year came around, I saw he had started the garden and everything, you know, which was always close. I would stop by there anyway. But, you know, for me, the garden represented patience. Mm-hmm. And what I like to do, you know, represent Omni and being a ghetto politician, I like to show people things to get them to understand, because a lot of people understand with their eyes a lot better than they understand with their ears. So when you showing people the process of certain things that take place, it allows them, not everybody, but it allows some to understand and embrace a new outlook in life. Because there's life in the garden.
You know, I grew up as a country boy, so I grew up out there with my great uncle planting our collard greens and tomatoes and potatoes and carrots and green beans, purple hull, you know, peas and onions and celery and things of that nature. And I would go to the grocery store and walk down that produce aisle. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, I would know where it came from. And unfortunately, there are a lot of our young folks that don't understand fundamentals like that. Which for many of our ancestors, it was a way of life. That's how they fed the family.
Yeah.
Do you think getting away from some of those fundamentals have hurt our society?
I actually, absolutely, it has hurt a lot. You know, because we don't learn to appreciate the small things, and where it may seem small, like a computer or a video game may seem more important to a child than understanding the purpose of a garden. You know, so when you constantly putting things and new things in front of them, the things that really matter the most, you know, they forget about it, or they don't see the significance in it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And what it actually means to the people. You know what I'm saying? To the people, to the community as a whole, and could eventually mean to them as an individual. You know what I'm saying? They we got a lot of pacifying going on. You know, so it, like I said, it's like when the microwave came, didn't nobody cook like they used to. Mm-hmm. So the value of cooking, it wasn't the same as it was once upon a time. because the microwave came about. So with the garden, when it comes to the garden and young people not really fully understanding the concept of what the garden represents or could do for them as an individual in their life, you know, I just feel like they've been sidetracked, you know what I'm saying, just sidetracked, and, you know, people, we don't talk about it enough. That's another reason why I started doing those videos. And I noticed since I started doing those videos showing the garden, a lot of other people that's been involved in garden way before me are starting to show their pictures and their videos. So when we start taking this social media and using it for our benefit, we'll start seeing more and more people catch on. And see, that's the whole purpose. Somebody got to start.
Right, right. You know, every amazing journey begins with the first step.
The first step.
And, you know, and I'd rather watch a gardening video all day, any day, than to watch somebody playing a video of a 5-year-old girl doing club twerks.
Yeah, definitely.
And things of that nature. To my get it, boo, get it. You know, those are not the things that we should be
teaching.
You know,
Teddy, can I expand on that right quick?
Go ahead, absolutely.
Look, and that's another thing, too. Like you said, a 5-year-old girl that may be doing the twerk video, twerk and stuff like that. See, adults, parents encourage that in that child. And when that child becomes an adult, they don't understand why their child behaving a certain way. But it was there for you to correct a long time ago, but it was funny to you. Mm-hmm. It was cute to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we laugh it off. That's what kids do. That's what's wrong with them. It's a lot wrong with it in the long run.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we don't take those things serious. And when you speak on those things to these young, to the parents of young kids like that, you know, people not receptive to that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because that's my child, whatever. But, you know, when you look at the bigger picture, you're encouraging something that you're not going to be able to handle later on.
Mm-hmm.
You can whoop their little butt now if you want to for, you know, whatever. But when they get grown, they start doing it, and you love your child, you're wondering why certain things taking place in your child life, you don't realize that you're encouraged. Like a lot of these young people that's getting into this trouble now, they was encouraged in some way that it was okay for them to act a certain way. You know, if you at school getting in trouble, instead of finding out what's going on to see if your child right or not, parents just automatically, oh, they ain't messing with my child. So stuff like that kind of like keeps sends them on the wrong track, you know. You got to be more stern.
It creates a culture and it creates a pattern that's hard to counteract because every little bit that you allow to get by with becomes a lot later on.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot is what becomes problematic. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I'm here talking with my good friend Sean Riley, ghetto politician, and just appreciating the brother for all that he's doing in the community, his willingness to share his time, to mentor some of our young kids here, and just learning from him, learning from what he's encountering, and talking about what we can do to improve the conditions of our community. We'll be right back.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I'm here with my friend Sean Riley. We are having an amazing conversation about the Columbus community. And one thing I appreciate every time I talk with Sean is that he and I are 99% of the time on the same accord. And one thing we certainly agree upon is that we don't feel like our community is totally lost.
No.
We feel that if we just give it a little dedication, a little love, a little effort, you got to put in the hard work. Well, what's your slogan? You know, putting in work.
Put some work on it.
Put some work on it. That's it. Put some work on it.
Put some work on it.
You know, we just put some work on it, as Sean Riley would say.
Yeah.
And, you know, things are changing and it'll bounce back. Sean, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
In the barbershop earlier this week and I was talking with the fellas and there was a guy in there who recently served our country, and I appreciate him for his service. And we were talking about government, we were talking about leadership, and he kind of mentioned in a way that leaders don't run our country. You know, that whole conspiracy talk that you hear sometimes about a group of folks being in control and things of that nature. And I kind of got a little quiet, Sean, because when I hear that kind of talk, it bothers me, because I think it's stuff like that that discourage individuals from getting involved politically, discourage them from voting, discourage them from having that conversation with their elected representative about how we can improve the community. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I that mind frame is like a cycle, you know, and one of my motto for Omni is breaking cycle, building bridges. And when you break the cycle of that mind frame is a cycle, and that person that feels that way may not see outside of a certain box. All they see is what they see every day. They may have been served in the military, but their mind probably never left when they was in the hood. They probably went and took their body and served in the military and did that part for whatever reason, but their mind never expanded. Because once your mind expands, you have a broad understanding, which is building bridges. You have a broad understanding of how things really operate. You know, and you know, I have been that person that said something similar to what that individual has said, you know, but as I matured and got wiser, you know, I realized how important it is, you know, and people don't understand the midterms are the most important things to you locally, because we're going to start right there. Mm-hmm. You know, you can start something in your, you know, in your city, and, you know, just say if you're running for office now and you get elected and you start something in your city, it can expand on to the world, you know, something that you, a vision you believe in for the people. You know, some people's minds don't expand that far. So it's just simply about what they see every day, you know, how they feel, and that's all that matters.
And, you know, it's not just about that one guy. It's also about what I see broadly on social media platforms sometimes, especially during election cycle. You know, I even hear some people say, I don't even know why y'all go vote. It's not like our voices matter. Sean, we got to change that, because our voices do matter.
Definitely.
I can show you elections that were won by 1, 2, or 5 votes.
Yeah.
And could make a huge difference.
Yeah.
How do we change that narrative in our community? Who do we need to be talking about the fact that voting matters? I mean, you have people like Jay-Z and other big time names that get involved with political candidates. You have some big names to endorse Stacey Abrams. You have some very huge names to endorse Barack Obama. So it seems like the music culture is engaged in it, from our understanding of that. We have to be engaged politically. Where is this coming from, and how do we stop it?
Well, you know, we got to create some motivation in them to do it, you know, and that can be done in multiple ways. We got to be subliminal with that information. We got to be subliminal with the information that, and how important it is to vote. You know, we can't just wait till it's time to vote to start saying, y'all need to go vote. You know, we need to make it subliminal. When it's the election is a year away, we need to, because like I said earlier, a lot of people see what they understand better with their eyes. And when they constantly seeing it on social media, you know, we need to have more, you know, getting people registered to vote campaigns. You know what I'm saying? We need to have more on a broader scale. You know, even sometimes, even if you offer incentives, people act on that. You know, and that's the problem. A lot of people don't want to move. They'll talk. They don't want to move. And we got to get people motivated to move, to at least first register to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and from there, we can get more people to vote. You know what I'm saying? Encourage them.
What does that motivation look like? Does it involve more of us getting involved down on the street level and having those conversations? So I guess we got to get out of the ivory towers of our elected capacities, and we really got to get down in the streets.
That's where you got to go. You got to, and see, that's another thing. You have to, is people that's been in the street or still have reputations in the street are the ones who can make the biggest impact with a lot of things that are going on in our community. Mm. A lot of times they don't speak for whatever reason, you know what I'm saying, fear of being cut down, you know, whatever fear that may be. But a lot of the people that's been out there in them street has a lot of respect from these same individuals that could go to these polls and make a difference.
Right.
But, you know, and we need to build a more tighter communication with individuals that have been through certain things, like been to prison,
right,
or used to be a drug dealer, you know what I mean? And whatever made them come out of that, you know what I'm saying? Get people to feel comfortable to talk more about it, to others that's in the neighborhood. We don't validate each other enough. Mm. You know what I'm saying? If you talking to a young man, Teddy, about voting, I'm gonna sit there and watch you talk to him. I'm gonna listen to you, and I'm gonna validate what you're saying. I'm gonna approve what you're saying. We don't do that enough. Mm. You know, you may have a guy in the neighborhood that people look up to, and you come along, you might be a stranger to the younger guy, but the older guy might know you, and it's up to that person right there that know both of y'all to validate when you speak, if you speaking. You know what I'm saying? That's how that younger individual is gonna gain respect for you. We got to validate each other.
I will give you an example of that. My good friend and good homie, Norman Coyle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know Norman.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy. As a matter of fact, right before Skip Henderson took office, but at that point he had been elected, I had a meeting with him and almost 40 young black men under 45. Mm-hmm. We met at Circa, and we had kind of like a town hall discussion. And Mayor Henderson and Norman engaged in a conversation, and Mayor Henderson told him I would follow up with him on it, mm-hmm. right? Well, recently on his Facebook page, Norman posted a message that said Mayor Henderson kept his promise,
mm-hmm.
and he got back with me. Now, validated. I don't know what's going to go from there, what's going to happen, but it was because of that meeting, and I caught some heat for that meeting from some mm-hmm. folk. Who he think he is, calling to meet with mm-hmm. the mayor and young folks in the city. You know, my thing is we pay taxes just like everybody else.
Why should that be an issue?
I live here just like everybody. Why is it an issue?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you can call a meeting with the mayor with some young individuals that's going to be our future, what's wrong with that? See, that's we got to get out of, you know, I can't find every reason why you ain't qualified. I want to know why you qualified. And I'm not going to go looking for why you qualified. I'm not going to go looking for why you not qualified. I know that's how elections go sometimes, but me as a person, as an individual, I'm going to pay attention to what you do. See, before Norman could validate the mayor had to uphold his word.
Mm-hmm.
Once he upheld his word, he was validated. You know what I mean? Norman didn't say, well, he said he's going to do that, he said he's going to do that. It was when he took the act to validate his own word for himself was Norman able to validate for him. You know
and
what
that's
mean?
What it sounds like. The people that's in the streets sound like that's what they want. They want people going to keep their word.
Yeah, yeah.
They want people that's even going to talk with them first. You got to first come talk to them.
You got to.
And trust is started to build when we keep our words.
Building relationships, building bridges.
Building bridges. You know, in the last few minutes that we have left, Sean, I just want to hear from you. What do you think are some of our biggest challenges right now in our community with our young folks? It was just this week, we had two kids, a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old, that were convicted of murder. And as I stated earlier, you know, they're going to spend about 30 years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
How do we stop that? How do we reverse that cycle?
We got to get to their minds when they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before certain behaviors start to manifesting, and if we start seeing it, you know, the parent starts at home. Once it starts at home, the parent got to be stern with the child. I'm your parent, not your friend. You know, and kids get mad when the parent want to be the parent, but, you know, a lot of parents feeling guilty and feel like they owe their kids. They owe it to their kids to let them have their way or not say certain things because they may feel guilty about something they probably didn't do for their kid once upon a time. You know, and I done seen where that behavior carries on into the young adults, 20 and 21 years old, still feeling like their parents supposed to give them certain type of attention. You know what I'm saying? You know, you give them attention, that's your child, you love them, but it's still certain things you have to be firm and stern on. Mm-hmm. And I think when it starts in the home and the parents are more stern and firm about what they say, what you need to do. You know, and the kid going, yeah, we all did that. I can't wait till I get grown or whatever. Then when you get grown, everything your parent or your auntie or your grandma said, you like, no, they tried to tell me,
mm-hmm.
you know. But and it goes back to like me. I had my time. We're going to have our time being young. But I still had that foundation. I knew right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to make a decision within myself. What do I want to do? I know we're getting run out of time, but with what I do with Omni, this is what I do. Omni can't save every young man.
Mm-hmm.
But the young men that want to know something different and want to do something different, the doors are open. Anybody, the doors open to anybody. But the ones that really want to do something, because you got to make a decision. You know, that's what I had. I had to make a decision. I came to a crossroad. I can go big in the drug, or I can give back to the people, you know, like I supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
That birthed the ghetto politician. But, you know, we have to You know, they need to find out what means something to them. We need to find out what they care about. They need to understand what they care about and understand that, you know, the importance of not losing what they care about or love.
Do you think the church plays a role in that? And if so, what role do they play?
I think the church...
Your grandmother has a church.
Yeah. My grandmother has a church. Yeah. Words of wisdom. I feel like the church is actually... the churches need to be a little bit more youth-friendly, or they can start implementing programs. Some churches may have it already, you know, but, you know, where you start teaching life skills. Mm-hmm. You know, we know about the spirituality, and we understand about God and Jesus and the purpose and that he served for us. But, you know, we need to start implementing life skills within the churches also. You know, a lot of people have been in church 30 and 40 years and really can't function with life skills.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So, you know, and then they done had kids, so their kids don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's stuff like this. It's long history go back, man.
It is a long history. And when you think about that long history and the history of us as black people, how we descended from slavery with no help, with no financial assistance, with nothing that the country gave us to survive as people, and how we maneuvered through Jim Crow with folks holding us back, folks intentionally discriminating against us, to where we are today. Yes, we have our challenges. Yes, we should be extremely proud of what our grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers were able to do to set the foundation from where we are right now. The cliche that we stand on the shoulders of giants is not just a blanket cliche. It's a true and meaningful cliche, because every generation of African Americans have been giants. And every generation has progressed our culture further and further and further from where we were. And what we have to do as a people is make sure that we stay on that path of progression. We have to make sure that we stay on that path of love and compassion. And at the same time, we can't be ashamed of our history. We have to embrace our history, because my grandmother used to always tell me, you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you came from. And I appreciate all that my family members have done, especially my grandmother, who didn't even get a chance to finish high school before she had to go to work. That's the story of so many of our elders in our community, which is why when I talk about community engagement and community growth, I talk about them too. Mm-hmm. Sean, it hurt my feelings that there are seniors on the South Side that feel that they have to lock themselves in their house at 6 o'clock, a fear of what may happen in their community.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, we owe them better than that.
We do.
We owe them better than that.
Yeah.
And it's not just about our youth. It's about the community as a whole. When we start to clean the community, when we start to work with our youth, when we start to reverse these negative trends, it benefits everybody. As a person once said, this big tide of hope and change will lift all of our boats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I want to see the boats rise together.
Yeah.
I don't want to see one boat rise. I want to see all the boats rise.
And it's possible.
Can we raise all the boats, Sean?
I think it's possible. I think if we put our head down and dig deep and go hard and put some work on it, we can make it happen. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got to really want it. When we get ready to take this journey, We need you all in. You know, you got to be all in. Put some work on it.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for your time. We're going to end it with that note. Let's put some work on it, Columbus. Let's put some work on it, West Georgia. Let's put some work on it, East Alabama. We can do it. We have some challenges. We may have the highest unemployment rate in the region right now, in the state as well as a region. And right now in Columbus, we have roughly 4.8% unemployment that was recently revised by the Georgia Department of Labor, where we have a state average of 3.6. And when you look at that average, and when you break it down by racial racial measures, unemployment in the African-American community is extremely high. So we got to see some intentional efforts. We got to see some intentional actions by our leaders to make sure that we are addressing unemployment, particularly in the African-American community. And if you're not talking about that, then I really don't want to hear anything anybody got to say. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have time for you. There's nothing that I want to talk about. No river. I want to talk about no rafting. I want to talk about no bicycle trails.
Yeah.
I want to talk about jobs.
Jobs.
I want to talk about saving our youth.
Saving
I want to talk about respecting our elders. factors. I want to talk about creating a relationship between the community and our law enforcement entities.
Oh, man. That's
awesome. What I want to talk about,
yeah,
Sean.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about nothing else. Yeah. We got to cut off, y'all. We about to start a whole nother conversation.
That's
we,
right.
We got to cut this off. Sean, thank you so much again, brother.
Thank
I appreciate
you for having
you.
Me.
Absolutely. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Make sure you catch us next Sunday, which will be the first Sunday in July. And we're going to have a great guest on talking a little bit about some voter registration, y'all. We got to start getting ready for that. Take care. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, this website, and this radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.